Well, in some ways, I mean, if you're an attorney who covers this day in and day out, you know, who's representing clients, that is their point of view, and those are two of the people I talked to about this. And these aren't just new people. I mean, the attorneys I spoke with have 20, 30 years in the federal procurement arena and understand what's going on here. And basically what they say is this increased oversight across the board of contractors is taking its toll on those contractors. Now, let me make sure it's clear. Nobody thinks oversight's a bad thing. Nobody's calling for less oversight. But they do point to millions of dollars recovered by the Justice Department under the False Claims Act, and now the increased call for suspension and debarment. And basically what they're saying is there's all these steps that are being taken that they believe are disagreements that are not being worked on. Instead, the government is taking it to the end of the spectrum, you know, let's just prosecute them. Bill Shook is an attorney with the law firm of Shook & Doran.
You have to realize that suspension and debarment is, in essence, capital punishment for government contractors. And so if you have committed an offense or if you've made a mistake or had an employee make a mistake, there is no sort of middle ground. It's either you're suspended and debarred or nothing happens. And the government can now use that, or has always been able to use that, to threaten contractors to correct what they perceive to be as inappropriate actions. There is no doubt that there are contractors who want to abuse the system and take advantage of the procurement process, but they are in the small minority. We go in cycles with government contracting where we make it easier to do business with the government, and now we are in the cycle of making it extremely difficult and risky.
Now, remember, this is coming from a procurement attorney who stands to make some money from the so-called criminalization of government procurement. So let's give it some idea of where it's coming from. I mean, this is someone who's saying he's watched this change over time, and he believes that the government has actually taken the easy way out in terms of changing and improving the procurement process instead of fixing long-standing issues with acquisition. Shook says there's structural issues such as an untrained workforce. He says there's 2,000 pages of regulations that are basically unintelligible, which no one in government or, for the most part, in industry understands them or applies them uniformly. There's an untold number of procedures that, again, have no consistency in how they're applied. Now, Joe Hornack is a partner with the law firm of Holland & Knight, and he says the suspension and debarment is part of a larger trend of oversight, in part because agencies have seen a huge increase to $500 billion in contracting over the last decade. He says the criminalization of contracting has been going on for years.
For many, many years, it's been the case that something that might be an ordinary contract dispute, if it were in the commercial world, can actually be a criminal action in the government world. So I think what we see now is just more aggressive enforcement by the government, more efforts to uncover those kinds of actions and use the weapons that the government has in its arsenal, whether it's a criminal prosecution or a civil prosecution for damages or a suspension or debarment.
So like Shook, Hornack calls the suspension and debarment a death penalty for contractors. And we've seen a number of high-profile cases over the years. Most recently, Iron Bow was suspended by the Air Force. They're working to solve the situation and resolve it as quickly as possible. But until they get it fixed, they cannot get any new work from the government. You may remember Tom and Amy from SBA suspended GTSI about a year ago. Boeing with the tanker deal. One of your favorite things, Amy, a couple of units were suspended for 20 months in 2003. And back in 2008, EPA suspended IBM for about 2 weeks. Now, Shook says while agencies who do have an active suspension program, most of them do it fairly well. But he believes there's a few who are actually abusing the process. And this is just adds to that idea of criminalization.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Why are Congress and the administration focusing on this now, do you think?
Well, it's hard to say why exactly. I think, again, going back to what Shook and Hornack says, it's part of that increased oversight. And we've seen a lot of it over the last 3 or 4 months. Two hearings, including one earlier this week. A new memo from OMB on suspension and debarment. Again, earlier this week. Plus two new reports over the last month, month and a half. One from GAO and one from the Interagency Suspension and Debarment Committee. The hearing of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee on Wednesday basically was based on that GAO report that found only a handful of agencies are actively using suspension and debarment. Senator Susan Collins is the ranking member of the committee. She says these tools are not being used enough and really wants to know why.
Today, there is even less excuse than ever, given the new tools available to agencies. One such tool is the excluded parties list, which allows for a real-time listing of all contractors who have been suspended or debarred. And since that time, the suspension or debarment at one agency generally applies to all agencies. This GAO report must be a wake-up call to agencies that are failing to protect the interests of taxpayers.
Now, Colin Zada, this has been a long-standing issue. In fact, when she was a staff member for former Senator Bill Cohen, she actually helped put together a hearing on this in 1981. Now, this also comes with increased oversight more broadly. It calls for pre-award audits, post-award audits, more focus on fewer high-risk contracts, such as time and materials and labor hours, by agencies. Office of Federal Procurement Policy Administrator Dan Gordon says the administration wants to get contracting under control, reduce the growth, and so this idea of suspension and debarment, all of this is part of that increased oversight.
So OMB issued a memo earlier this week. What are the agencies now required to do?
The memo, in part, is a reaction to the GAO report, but it's also based on those interagency findings I talked about earlier. So agencies have to take four steps. They have to assign a senior procurement official to be accountable for suspension and debarment. They have to improve internal policies and procedures, and they have to do more training. Now, all these factors make up a good suspension and debarment program. Steve Shaw is the suspension and debarment official for the Air Force. The Air Force is actually one of the most active agencies in contract oversight. He says there are three areas that make up suspension and debarments more successful. Shaw says the referral process from agency inspectors general is one. The structure of the office also is important, but the policies are most important.
We in the Air Force do have a dedicated staff, as was mentioned by the GAO report. We have three full-time attorneys at headquarters and some 10 full-time attorneys in the field that do nothing else but fraud and suspension debarment cases and referrals. We feel that we are very aggressive in the area of dealing with the bad actors, as we've referred. But there is a flip side to that, and that is the carrot and the stick approach that we have taken, and that is to be aggressive on the bad actors, but to be proactive at the front end with the leverage that we have with this tool of suspension and debarment to encourage contractors to have risk management programs and other ethics programs to prevent fraud from happening in the first place.
All right, Jason, what plans does Congress have, if any, around suspension and debarment after these hearings?
Well, both Senators Collins and Joseph Lieberman are interested in legislation. Gordon says he believes legislation is not needed, but agencies just need to do a better job of being trained in how to use these tools. But if senators do draft a bill, OFPP's Gordon says the administration would like to review it.
I do think that what GAO described was actually not recommendations, because they also made recommendations that we'll be considering. But what they described were characteristics, and the characteristics are a bit tricky. From my point of view, what you need is a push from the top and a push from the center that this is serious and needs to be done. We've had conversations with the agencies, including, I should tell you, the Department of Justice, about this matter. I've personally been engaged in those conversations. We need to make progress.
Now, Gordon says OFPP is doing other things as well. They will consider whether the suspension and debarment office needs to be separate from the contracting shop. So more guidance is actually being worked on. OFPP also is working with the Federal Acquisition Institute and the Defense Acquisition University to improve training around the use of suspension and debarment. But others, such as Shook, warn against placing too much emphasis on this one specific tool, which he believes the memo does, and other coming guidance could as well. Shook says all this is doing, he thinks, the opposite of what Gordon's Mythbusters campaign is about, which is instead of creating a collaborative environment for contractors and industry, it's actually creating a hostile environment where nobody trusts one another.